Welcome back, folks. This is War Room Live. I don't know how much more, how many more ways I could say just the most obvious understanding of political reality of all time. Like it's all so very, very simple. Let's try this one on for size, shall we? It's not enough to stop the Democrats doing what they're doing. It's very simple. You can't look, there's a couple things that the Republicans seem to think are enough to stop the Democrats, which they all, you know, obviously you can see from the outrage and the terror from the results last night. Like, I think they, you know, actually are scared about what would happen if America became socialist. They should be scared of that. They should be doing what's necessary to prevent that, but they're not. You've got to actually be aggressive. You've got to actually undo the things the Democrats have done, not just temporarily pause them, which in and of itself might be asking too much, since for the most part, the Republicans just let the Democrat policies more or less continue. While speaking angrily about them, they never do anything to roll them back. Maybe they pause them. Sometimes they pause them. Immigration would be a great example. This country was attacked by immigration, by Alejandro Mayorkas and Joe Biden. They brought in tens of millions of hostile foreigners into our country deliberately, knowing that we would never be able to get them out. We could get them out, but knowing that we never had the political will and they could mess up the process as they are. That is an attack on our country. To simply pause the flow is not sufficient. You have to expel tens of millions of people. And you have to not just expel them, you have to take their name and guarantee they will never become an American citizen. Anybody that came across this, across the border illegally, has to be sent back with a note on their file saying this person can never, ever, ever become an American citizen, and they should really never be allowed back in our country, even temporarily. Because what's going to happen when the Democrats get back in power and all those tens of millions of migrants are still in this country? The first thing they're going to do probably is pass a amnesty law and give them all citizenship, and they'll be here forever. And it will be an infinitely higher bar to clear to try to ever get them out again, because now you're talking about denaturalizing or stripping citizenship from people who at this point could be expelled easily. They'll be here forever, and they'll open up the border and the flow will begin again. So they opened the tap. They flooded our house. The Republicans came in. They turned off the tap. Then they sat there in the stagnant water, didn't clear out any of the water, and then they're going to get swept out, and the Democrats come in and turn that tap back on and turn our house into a pool because the water's not going anywhere. You have to drain the water. You have to actually do something proactive to solve literally any of these problems. You have to break up the monopolies. You have to stop the H-1B visa scam. You have to not just arrest the worst billion-dollar fraudsters, which, you know, at a certain point, it's like, okay, the fact that you're now getting the fraudster, it's good that you're getting them, but actually we're mad that you spent 10 years not getting them. How do you steal $1 billion before you're finally caught? It's not enough. None of this is enough. And I really think they know it. I don't understand how only the political class and their advisors are the only ones that don't understand this, don't get this, aren't on the same page as us. It's a trick. I have to think it's a trick. And I'll show you clips on the other side. I've got a clip right here. Migrants in Mexico are actually sitting, waiting in Mexico, and they tell the interviewer, yeah, as soon as the Democrats get in power, we're going in. There are hordes waiting on our borders, waiting to rush in and join all of the tens of millions of their co-ethnics that are in this country and will be given citizenship by the Democrats if they ever get back in charge. And whose fault is it? The Republicans.
Let me announce the kickoff of the summer sale. This is going to run for 2 weeks, and different items for only 3 days will be buy one, get one free. Right now, it's Ultra Methylene Blue, the very best methylene blue. You've heard about methylene blue. Ours is medical grade. Buy one, get one free. Another big deal on Tri-Iodine, the best, cleanest iodine. Take action now. The start of summer sale kickoff is now live. And look at this. Nice black hat. High quality. With a nice leather patch made in the USA, just classy. And that's from Dickie. Really proud of that. And look at this bad boy. I designed this bad boy, the concept. 1776 Redneck Deluxe. And that is good stuff with the two crossed musket rifles. That is a good looking, good old boy right there. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. Get it all now at thealexjonesstore.com and stick your finger right in New World Order's all CNI and say, screw you, globalists. We're keeping Alex Jones on the air.
Welcome back, folks. If you want to see where this goes, I think we can go to clip number 16 here, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, this was a event that occurred a couple days ago in the UK. Maybe the clearest example of what's going on in the Western world. I mean, this takes like a meme I've seen over and over again. It makes it really undeniably clear. It's not the first time this has happened, but being caught on tape is a really striking example. Video out of London shows officers allowing an African migrant to walk free after attacking a white man while arresting the white man for defending himself as the migrant's friend laughed and pointed at the detained white guy. Let's watch. So there's a white guy, he's backing up, he gets punched, he gets attacked. There's the cop coming up, grabbing the white guy, not trying to separate him, but actually holding the white guy's arms as the white guy gets punched in the face. Oh, and they put a calm, respectable arm on the black guy who started the fight and was attacking the white guy. They pull the white guy to the ground, two guys on him now. The white guy's going, "What are you doing? I got attacked." They're now kneeling on his arms. Again, he's the guy that got attacked. He hit me first. You saw it. He hit me first. So he's just like, "Get the hell off me." Another big fat tub of lard in a police vest grabs his legs. I mean, imagine being like, I don't know if you're like me, but like, man, he gets punched, he gets attacked, he throws up his hands to defend himself, a cop comes up, grabs his arms while the other guy is still punching him, allows him to get punched in the face, he's now bleeding from his brow, the English cops kneeling on him, three of them holding his arms, legs, kneeling on his chest, and berating him, while a bunch of African migrants who started the fight in the first place point and laugh, knowing exactly that they're, you know, knowing they're getting away with it, knowing what actually happened. How much longer is this clip, guys? So I want to go back to the beginning, just so you can see again. It's not ambiguous. Go back to the very beginning and just y'all watch the first second or two of this. The black guy's running at the white guy. The white guy's backing up. It's, you know, sort of a semi-fair fight here. The cop comes up, grabs the guy's arms while he's still being punched in the face. Watch, he gets punched in the face, not able to defend himself because the cop is grabbing his arms. And the black guy that started the fight gets a nice polite touch on the arm. "Hey, calm down, man." While the white guy who was defending himself from being attacked gets swarmed by cops. I remember this happened in Germany during a stabbing. And the cop who did it got stabbed and died because the white guy who was trying to defend himself from the knife men, the cop ran up and grabbed the white guy and threw him to the ground. The knife men, still free, stabbed the cop in the back and killed him. Tell you what. This is happening while white people are a majority in Britain. What do you think happens next? What do you think happens when you aren't even a numerical majority anymore? Think this gets better? It's only going to get worse. The problem that we're dealing with right now in New York and everywhere is a demographic problem. It is a deliberately created crisis by the people in power who brought in a bunch of unassimilated third world chaos agents who they unleashed on our streets and then trained the cops to prefer them and to give them the benefit of the doubt, and not just train them in training with training manuals instructing them to do exactly this, but also with the constant reinforcement of social pressure, just letting them know, even if it's not an official law or program, which it actually is, but even if it wasn't, they would understand, you don't mess with the black people, you don't mess with the brown people, you can abuse the white people as much as you like. There's no consequence there. They know that, and they act in accordance to those guidelines. That video from Right Angle News. So, I mean, I play that to be a warning of where we're going very rapidly and in a feedback loop, a snowball effect, where the more people you bring in, the more people who vote for socialists, the more they open up the border and restrict police actions, the more they oppress the native citizens in favor of their co-ethnic immigrants. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Like, this is a feedback loop that we're in now, and we have to interrupt it. We have to stop this from happening. We have to recognize the real engines driving these phenomenons. And it's, again, not complicated. It's anti-white, racial hatred, jealousy, envy, and greed for people that want what white people have and don't necessarily have the capability to produce it themselves or even understand what it takes to produce it. It's like the video we played a couple weeks ago. Another black guy, African dude, trying to get into England. The interviewer's like, "What? Why are you trying to go to England?" He's like, "I want them to give me my house." He's like, "Everybody in England's got these really nice houses. Where's mine?" No thought as to what led to the creation of a civilization or a society in which people own houses. No consideration into the fact that bringing in a bunch of people who are just demanding houses for nothing will, in fact, destroy the system that he's trying to move into. Here is the real thing. I don't need him to understand. I don't need the migrants to fully appreciate and understand and respect the way of life and the mindset and the philosophy and the rule of law that built American and European cultures. I don't need them to understand. I don't want them here. If they understand, if they genuinely appreciate what's going on, then sure, they can come over. But this is the thing. It's like, we don't need them. We don't need to explain it to them. They don't need to understand. They just need to not be here. And if they're going to be here, they need to understand. But again, this is where we're headed, folks. And again, when the Democrats get back in power, which they will, because Trump has ruined the Republicans' chances and ruined the opportunity they've had here in this time period in which we've had total control. He has surrendered it to Israel. They have made everything worse for everybody. The Republicans are doing absolutely nothing that they could or should do, even for their own self-preservation. They refuse to do it. So they'll be swept out of office. The Democrats will sweep in. The migrants waiting at the border will come in. The migrants that are already here will be given citizenship. They'll all start voting more for the socialists and the communists and everybody else. And we've been over this a million, billion, trillion times, that white Christian men are literally the only demographic that votes as a majority for conservative principles. It's not to say there's not a sizable group of people of other races that, you know, understand conservatism as well. But as a group, it's white guys and only white guys. White women to a certain degree, but they're much more able to be swayed by culture around them than men are. And I would give you $1 million if you could show me Donald Trump, Mike Johnson, just any prominent Republican saying, let alone doing anything for this demographic. What do you think is going to happen? Let's go to this video. Absolutely insane. Migrants in Mexico say they're waiting for Democrats to win so that they can cross the U.S. border. You know, there's probably millions of these. Clip number 12. Once Trump leaves, we'll head north. Let's watch. I will not arrive and worry about being deported. I would rather stay here until he leaves. Most of my friends think it's better to stay in Mexico and work until he leaves. Once he leaves, we'll all head north. Why not? Right now, one would go because they want to, but arrive and be deported, nah, it's better not to go. People are coming from Venezuela. I have friends from far away, Honduras and El Salvador. To be deported and try again, all of that is expensive. One needs to work in another country in order to leave. Americans need to help us out. We need to unite in order to get Trump out. Have you ever seen a video that better explains the state of modern American politics? And hey, pro-Trump people might look at that and go, well, but he's talking about how effective Trump's policies are. For now, yeah. Yeah, until he's ousted, until he's impeached, you know, this time next year. What's your solution to this? What's your solution to this? You don't have a solution to keep the Democrats out of power. You've done nothing to pass bills or level punishment on the people who broke our laws previously to allow all these people in. You have not deported them by millions of people. And again, you can see in that, if nothing else, it tells you like, yeah, these migrants are not desperate. They're not irrational. They understand. They do a cause and, you know, cost return benefit analysis. And they go, well, it's kind of expensive if I'm going to get deported and have to come all the way back. I'll just wait here until I can guarantee I won't be deported under a Democrat person. And then I'll go in and I'll help the Democrats get elected more. So the Americans need to help us get in so we can all defeat Trump together. Trump, of course, to them is just an avatar for white Christian America. And that's who they're really trying to defeat. So whatever. I mean, I can't just reiterate this over and over again, because it's really not that complicated until the Republicans do what they promised and deport millions of people and end the wars in the Middle East. This is our fate until we decide to change it. New York City, by the way, 41% of the residents of New York City are foreign born. 41% of the voters in New York City, foreign born. 50% of births are to foreign parents, 60% at least to one foreign parent, meaning that about 75% of all residents are products of the Hart-Celler Act, the Immigration Act in 1965 that opened up our border to non-European immigration. This is your, like, right now, I don't even know how to express it, because the Republicans are focused entirely on that. First of all, they're like, oh, this is really dangerous anti-Semitism that is driving this. And it's like, it's not anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism doesn't exist. It's not a real thing. This is appropriate and, you know, really long overdue reaction to Israel, you know, dominating our political party. The two problems we're facing here are demographics and Israel, and they go hand in hand. It's not even really about, but if you want to take the Republican Party's line and say this is about socialism and communism, okay, if that's what it was all about, if Israel wasn't an issue and anything, Muslim, Islam wasn't an issue, if it was just about socialism and communism, what have you done to combat that? You do absolutely nothing to economically help the downtrodden, the poor, or the middle class. The middle class is being eviscerated as we speak by the policies of the Republicans. You're doing nothing to stop the mind control brainwashing in universities. Again, you're happy to threaten to bankrupt Harvard because they allow pro-Palestinian students to go there, but you've never done a single damn thing to stop the anti-white agenda or to stop the anti-American propaganda being spread at these places. You could. We've seen it. You will. If it's Israel, you won't. If it's America, this is the problem. This is the only issue. And again, I am genuinely worried about Democrats taking power. That is the last thing I want. Everything I'm saying is hopefully, if it's paid attention to and listened to, will prevent Democrats from getting elected, because the only reason Democrats get elected is because people look at what the Republicans are doing and say, why the hell would we support that? It does nothing for us. At least under Democrats, they might actually do something. Something. We just want somebody to do something. Like, literally, that is it. This is the craziest thing. Republicans run around tearing their hair out. Israelis spending billions of dollars trying to fix. It's just like, just do literally the bare minimum for any of us. Just give us something to believe in, something to look at and say, hey, that might actually improve my life. And then actually do that thing. Bowtied Ranger, I thought, expressed this very well in response to Darialeza Chevalier winning the Democratic primary. And she said, I forgot to get napkins, so I just wiped my hand on the American flag behind me, smiley face, right? So she generally just wants to disrespect America, wants to tweet about how she's disrespecting America, hates America genuinely. So, you know, for me, I don't know why we have to let these people run our country. I don't care if a bunch of foreigners with American passports think that she should run our country. It's our country. And if the American government had any legitimacy whatsoever, it would stop people like this from running for office. And how, like, are you so wedded to these principles that these people don't believe? Remember, Western society, Western culture, this belief system that has brought about the greatest, most powerful, most prosperous countries of all time. The people that actually believe in these values and believe in these principles have to abandon them in order to save them. Do you understand? That these principles, these beliefs, this vulnerability that makes life worth living is being taken advantage of by people who do not believe in any of this stuff. I think the way I said it before was, people who believe in the Constitution are going to have to break the strictures of the Constitution in order to save the Constitution. Otherwise, the Constitution will be destroyed by people who don't love the Constitution. Do you understand? People who actually value and love Western civilization are going to have to abandon some of the strictures of Western civilization in order to save Western civilization from the horde of people who are actively destroying and hate Western civilization. If we are hamstrung by our own openness, we have to abandon that openness. I do believe that people should have a say in their government. I do believe that people should be able to dictate what policies are implemented that affect them and themselves. I genuinely believe in a Republican system of representation. That is what's being destroyed by these people. And if they're using the vulnerabilities and weaknesses of our system to take advantage of it, then we have to abandon those as well, with the idea, with the mindset and the plan in place that we have to secure our system. We have to build the fence around our garden, and then we can go back to these values that we cherish so dearly. But if we don't do that, then these values will be destroyed by people who just don't believe in them, don't care about them, don't like them, but will use them to get power. What's the phrase? Like, when I'm not in power, I preach tolerance because that's your value. But then when I'm in power, I toss it to the side because I don't actually believe in tolerance. Like, these people don't believe in tolerance. They don't believe in equality under the law. They don't believe in any of this stuff, if they even understand it. So you have to stop them from getting power so that we can continue to have this stuff. As Bowtied Ranger puts it, the only way to stop what's coming is for white people to find a collective identity and oppose non-whites from taking power. That's the only way to prevent creatures like this from unleashing the orcs to rape and pillage what white people built over 250 years. If that doesn't happen soon, the country's cooked. And listen, folks, you don't have to be white to understand that. That's one of the biggest, like, psyops ever, is that this sentiment, I don't know what race Bowtied Ranger is. I assume he's a white guy, but if he was black or brown or Jewish or Muslim, this would still be true. And it would be for the benefit of all the non-white people as well. Do people not realize, like, the world is still at this point, you know, ever, you know, with ever increasing tenuousness, but, like, still the white system is what runs the world. Still, to this point. Because it was the Europeans that went all over the world that established these empires or communities. It was our system that, you know, gave life to these places and still runs these places to any certain degree. Like, what do people think is going to happen when white people go away? Have you ever heard of pre-contact Africa? Have you ever read accounts of adventurers who explored the Congo from Europe or somewhere else? Are you ready to live in an open-air meat market where human beings are sold by the pound? Because cannibalism is like the primary method by which they get calories. Are you ready for this? The world at this point has two options. We can either come together to save white people, or the world will simply be divided into basically, you know, you can have Muslims and Jews killing each other and everyone else until, you know, they rule the world uncontested. Or you can have the Chinese eat everything that lives. Like, these are the options, basically. You can have white people, and you can have countries, and you can respect their uniqueness and celebrate every race, every color and creed, every nation with their own specific character. Or you can be melted down into the globo homo exploitation circle where, you know, yeah, literally the Muslims can take over Europe. And then the Jews can fight the Muslims forever. Muslims and the Jews can just wage war across the whole earth for all of time, killing everything that doesn't comply with their demands. Or, you know, China will just take over and systematically eliminate all organic life on earth by eating it. They're going to eat all the life. And the saddest part of all this is that the most difficult thing that we have to face, the most difficult hurdle we have to get over, is white people's own self-hatred. It's crazy. But that's the biggest barrier. None of this other stuff would be that hard. But if white people don't recognize the threat against them and actually care about it, then we're just going down this path. No brakes, no turnoffs. Just cruising towards global South Africa, global Zimbabwe, or global China. Or you can have white people in Europe and culture and music and light and celebrations and diversity and uniqueness and humanity. I guess the choice is yours.
Inflation is up. That's an issue. So how does Berkshire handle that with its businesses?
Well, we can't handle runaway inflation except not to be there. But there are dozens and dozens of countries that have experienced it. And of course, you have countries that have gone bankrupt like six or seven times. I mean, not having faith in the money does to a country. It turns it into something else. Yeah. And I've always hoped that, you know, the U.S. never does it, but we are not immune from it happening.
Dollar collapse means we keep continuing on where we are. Dollar devalues. We've got massive inflation. You raise interest rates to slow that inflation down. So the implications of that are bond market is toast because the value of bonds, the price of bonds comes down as interest rates rise. The inverse is also true. When interest rates come down, the value of bonds goes up. So as you raise interest rates, the value of bonds comes down. Who's allocated into bonds? The bond market is way larger than the equity market, the stock market. So you've got pension funds that are allocated into bonds, right? Anybody that's on a fixed income, banks are allocated into bonds. Consider this, an insurance company. Most insurance companies across the country are allocated about 90% into the bond market with their internal portfolios. What does an insurance company do? It pays beneficiaries when people die, right? So if the asset that they have to sell to pay those beneficiaries is coming down in price, this is gonna have a cataclysmic effect on the insurance industry, on pension funds, on everything, and on the banking system.
And let's be clear though, a dollar being the world currency is how we could just print it and buy whatever we wanted. If the world sees it like the Mexican peso or worse, we're screwed.
Yeah, because that was our get out of jail free card, right? We could print as much money as we want and everybody around the world still needed the US dollar. If you don't have reserve currency status like every other country other than the one that has reserve currency status, when you print excessively, people no longer want your currency. Don't let the news scare you, but rather use the wisdom, the creativity that God gave you. Go into tangible assets that have zero counterparty risk. Silver was up over 140% last year. Since January 30th, when it corrected and it had a 50% correction, went down into the 60s, it's almost 90. Literally, since February, silver's up over 30%, Alex. So you can roll over your IRAs. You have an old 401k, roll that over. Your brokerage accounts, take delivery of it at home or store it at a depository. If you don't want to take delivery of it at home, we'll walk you through that, answer your questions, make sure that you feel comfortable with everything, because it's ultimately your decision. We're just here to help guide and go on this journey with you. 1,000-ounce bars of silver, 100-ounce bars, 10-ounce bars, or 1-ounce generic refinery rounds.
But then you can roll over the financial instruments, too.
1-ounce gold bars or kilo bars, IRAs. If it has IRA in the name, simple, SEP, Roth, traditional, inherited, we can do that. Or you can do just a brokerage account that you just wire as funds, and it's a non-IRA account.
Is it wholesale? And are they buying it back with no cost? No fee. This is the place to go. And we'll get into gold and silver as well. Dr. Kirk Elliott, KEPM.com/gold. That way they know it comes from us. So it supports the broadcast. KEPM.com/gold or 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900. Call and get a free consultation or sign up for email. They'll call you back. They can also roll over a lot of financial instruments. This is the place to go. KEPM.com/gold. So gold and silver is the way to go. The best investment the last 2+ years. And you just check the wholesale price every day. That's what you get it for. You sell it back. For no cost, nobody else of any size does that. That's real.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Let me take a moment now to remind you that we have a new product, or a return of a product, at thealexjonesstore.com. The start of the summer sale is officially live at thealexjonesstore.com. And for the next 2 weeks, we're rolling out major new deals on some of our best products. But each deal is only going to last for a limited time. So you got to take advantage of this while you can. The first sale ends tonight. If you get one methylene blue tincture, you get a second free. If you buy one T3 trifecta iodine tincture, you get the second one 50% off. That again ends tonight. And yes, Ultimate Power is back and better than ever. You guys asked for it. It's finally back at thealexjonesstore.com. Ultimate Power is a clean daily performance formula built to support focus, energy, blood flow, stamina, and endurance. Whether you're working, training, taking care of your family, or just trying to feel sharp and strong again, Ultimate Power is for you. It has only 100 milligrams of caffeine, about the same as a normal cup of coffee, but it's paired with L-theanine to help you get a smoother, cleaner energy without the jitters or the crash. It's Ultimate Power. It's back in stock now at thealexjonesstore.com. Clean energy, sharp focus, better stamina, and no crash with this energy drink mix. Tastes great as well. Add it to a smoothie or a glass of water. It's kind of like a pre-workout, but it really is powerful, and it doesn't have all of the sugar or rely on all of the caffeine that your average energy drink does. Ultimate Power, now available at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours today. Now, with that, where do we go? Where do we go from here? I got a lot of videos I want to get to this segment, but sort of finishing up and, in a way, drawing a bridge between the success of the socialist Democrats in New York and what's going on in Iran and the negotiations there. We'll cover all this now. Ben Shapiro wrote this. Last night, he says, a bunch of candidates who literally despise America won in New York City. Establishment Democrats who live in fear of their radicalized base will cave to them. By 2028, people who hate this country and wish to destroy it could be in charge. A stunning warning from somebody who seemed oblivious to this reality mere years before, as Fugitive Caesar responds, saying, congratulations, Ben Shapiro. You got the mass immigration you voted and campaigned for. Ironically, it turns out they're all third world Bolsheviks who hate Jews. Too bad you ignored our friendly warnings, huh? Of course, posting Ben Shapiro's infamous tweet saying, and by the way, I don't give a good damn about the so-called browning of America. Color doesn't matter. Ideology does. Well, what if those things are inextricably linked, Ben? What if, on average, you can determine a political bent of a population and the browning of America is, in fact, the socializing of America? They're one in the same. He knows that. He knew that. Of course he does. You ask him if he gives a damn about the browning of Israel. Ask him if Israel should open up its borders to infinite third worlders. You think he'd have the same answer? Of course not. But he doesn't care about America. So even, you know, even the elections last night, do you think he really genuinely cares about Democrats or socialists taking over America? I don't think so. He's mad that they're anti-Israel. That's his care. And of course, the absurdity of all of this is the fact that Republicans think this is somehow going to help them out. It's absolutely not. As Military Times reports, just one in four Americans believe the Iran war was worth its costs. We don't even know the full cost yet. But basically, we're waging a war that is less popular than just about any war that's ever been waged in America. Like, at least in Vietnam, you had a bunch of patriots who thought it was the right thing to do. This war is less popular than Vietnam. This war is less popular than any war we've ever fought. It was done entirely for the benefit of the state of Israel. And everybody knows that and is pissed. Do you think that's causing people not to vote for the Democratic Party? No, it's causing people not to vote for the Republican Party. So everything that you saw last night with the Democrats, socialists taking power over the Democrats, that's going to happen to an even greater degree in the midterms as people on the right don't even have an alternative option to vote for that's not pro-Israel. I want to go now to, I believe it's clip number 22. This is, you know what? Yeah, we'll go to clip 22 here, because this is basically Steve Bannon responding to what you saw from Ben Shapiro, where Ben Shapiro is lamenting the horrible outcome of the very policies that he championed and called you a racist for opposing. Let's watch.
It's not conspiracy theory. These people are doing it methodically, and they're doing it up in your face. The universities, all of it. And the progressives, with mostly driven by Jewish intellectuals, have hated this country, and this is why these universities are cesspools. These are why these universities are cesspools. Are cesspools. And that's the intellectual driving force in it. And this is why we've got these sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. Your country's being taken over. Your country is being taken over. Why do we take the show down to Texas? I love Texas, but I didn't want to spend 3.5 months there because Mamdani and the Working Families Party is already down there, and you've got the Marxist jihadist alliance. It's not an easy alliance, but remember, they've allowed people in here to hate the United States of America. They hate it. They hate everything about it, particularly its Christian roots.
Very true. As Rothmus puts it on X, this was retweeted by Elon Musk, nobody voted for this. The same supranational elites shouting, save our democracy, are ramming through a globalist agenda of open borders, mass amnesty, and demographic replacement that no European population ever voted for. Because to them, a democracy never meant rule of the people, it meant their rule. No different than North Korea claiming to be a democratic republic because the dictator supposedly speaks for the will of the people. You're only allowed to vote on trivial issues. The decisions that actually destroy a civilization, like who enters the country, what your culture becomes, whether your nation even survives, it all happens without your consent. You're not in charge. You're being ruled. And that's absolutely right. And people point out, Brexit was almost entirely a referendum on immigration. That's how it was presented at the time. That's how people voted with that in their mind. And if you look at a chart of net migration to Britain by nationality, you see that the Brexit vote did immediately end up with a downturn in the number of EU migrants. So the fellow European white Christian population was no longer welcomed into Britain. But the non-EU migration skyrocketed, especially during COVID, another aspect of the Great Reset. But this, they voted for Brexit over this line, saying we want this to go down to zero. Instead, they got this line going all the way to the top, as high as it could possibly go. This is the state of democracy in Europe. This is the outcome of democracy in Europe. This is the most cut and dry, clear case of democracy in Europe is you hold a referendum, you campaign, you achieve the seemingly impossible, you succeed in getting your referendum passed against all odds at massive expense. And what happens? They do the opposite of what the referendum said, and then they throw you in jail for complaining about it. The EU is the possibly the most tyrannical organization in the world right now. Brexit was a symptom and the disease still spreads. That's from RT. Mass immigration, elite contempt, stagnant living standards, and deep class divisions still drive the frustration that shook Britain in 2016. And of course, it's only gotten worse because the primary driver of all of these conditions is immigration, and that only exploded following Brexit in direct contravention to the demands clearly expressed by the British people. Here's a tweet I was looking for earlier from Rising underscore Serpent on X in response to Judge Sparkle L. Suknanen. Sparkle Suknanen is her name. She blocked President Trump's Save Citizenship Verification System, and it appears she kept her Trinidadian citizenship and pledged renunciation only, quote, if required by law. So this is what I mean. Here's what Rising Serpent said. Sorry, I was about to phrase it in my own way, but I have it here in perfect English. Republicans are so gay that they'd rather bitch and moan about what some third world commie woman did rather than use the full force of the government to audit her immigration history and deport her commie ass to her native hellhole. How pathetic. That's the issue. That's the symptom. Is the problem that we have foreign judges named Sparkle deciding that the law is whatever she feels like it should be, not what is actually the law? Yes, that's obviously a major problem we have in our country. The problem is with the people that let her here and let her stay here and let her violate her oath of citizenship and then made her a judge when she's only been an American citizen for 7 years. She basically became an American citizen right before COVID happened. That's how new she is to this country. She is now a judge with the ability to block the president of the United States. She shouldn't even be in this country. She's overruling the president. Somebody born when she became an American citizen would still have trouble reading in most cases. Like, what do we do? What are we doing here? 7 years. Mamdani, I think, is something similar, right? I think he only became a citizen in like 2019 as well. So what are we doing? So what are we doing here? These are people that do not love America. They don't even like America. They constantly organize against America. They do not renounce their old countries. They do not drop their loyalty to their former countries. So why do we take them in? Why are we obligated to give them any benefit of the doubt? Because the likes of Ben Shapiro don't give a damn about the browning of our country. You're just a racist for understanding how the collapse of our country into socialism is perfectly in line with and correlated directly with the rise of third world migration into this country. Obviously, this is all so unbelievably obvious. And of course, it's all, at the end of the day, focused on Israel. Like all of this goes back to Israel, right? And the Jewish diaspora and their motivations here in this country. Again, why do you think we have the immigration problem? Probably because a lot of stalwart, patriotic American conservatives are actually like Ben Shapiro. They actually don't give a damn about this country. They don't give a damn about the makeup of our demographics or who those people vote for. You can ask them about Israel, and they'll actually use the fact it's a democracy as a reason why they can't let immigrants into Israel. They'll say, well, we're a Jewish nation. If we just gave the vote to everybody and then let in a bunch of Muslims, they'd vote to make it a Muslim country, and that can't happen. So because our status as a Jewish state is sacred, even though we're the only democracy in the Middle East, we're not going to allow immigration because then they would overwhelm us demographically. They would alter the outcome of our democratic elections, and then it would no longer be a Jewish state. Well, it's the same thing here. They just don't care. And they're the ones running the Republican Party, and they don't care. So that's the issue here. We'll go to a video here of prominent professor John Mearsheimer exposing a terrifying Zionist plot, he says. However, if you are a regular viewer of this program, this is one of these instances where I see a video go totally viral and get tons of views, and it's like, I've been saying this for years. What the hell? What the hell, guys? I've been saying this for years, and it's imminently obvious to everybody paying attention as prominent professor John Mearsheimer exposes this terrifying Zionist plot to, turn Iran into a failed state. Duh. Let's watch.
Thing, as we've talked about before on the show, their overall goal in Iran was to wreck Iran, to turn it into the second coming of Syria. And what they'd like to do is the same thing with Turkey. One of the reasons the Israelis have always been very interested in creating a Kurdish state. I remember when I first used to hear the Israelis talking about creating a Kurdish state, I couldn't understand why they were so interested in doing that. Well, huge chunks of Turkey, Iraq, Iran, and Syria have a large Kurdish population. And if you create a Kurdish state, you break up Turkey, Syria, Iraq, and Iran. And that explains why the Israelis want a Kurdish state. In other words, what I'm saying here is they want to do everything possible to weaken all of their neighbors, but especially countries like Turkey and Iran, as we were saying before, which have.
Yes. Yes, they want Iran to be a failed state. They want Turkey to be a failed state. Anyone on their periphery, they consider a threat to them, and they need to reduce them to a failed state. And then they'll expand into that failed state, annex that territory unto themselves, and then whoever is their new neighbor will suddenly be an existential threat that has to be dealt with the utmost severity, has to be reduced to rubble, and then continue, next step, continue. Again, people understand this when it comes to a country like Russia, because it's not true. Yeah, no, that's how it works. Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah. When it comes to Russia, they go, if we let them take Ukraine, they'll take Germany next. It's like, that's what? Absolutely not. That's a crazy thing to say. They've never once expressed that ever. Meanwhile, you've got Israel being like, in 15 years, we're going to war with Egypt and Turkey at the same time. That Turkey is, I don't know what's coming for them. As soon as we're done with Iran, we're going to Turkey next. And you're like, hey, I think this process of, conquering, annexing, moving forward, I think they plan on doing this possibly until there's nowhere else to annex. People are like, you're an anti-Semite. How dare you? The Greater Israel Project doesn't exist. It's all completely absurd. Now, before we get into the actual negotiations themselves, let's take a look at some statements made at the Jewish News Syndicate gathering. And I think we'll start with clip number one here. This is Israeli Diaspora Affairs Minister. So see, they have a Diaspora Affairs Minister, so they can coordinate with the wider Jewish population and sort of solidify and unionize their directive so everybody, every Jew in the world is working for Israel. Now, that's an anti-Semitic conspiracy, obviously, but they do have an official government position whose job it is to do that. You should let him know he's engaged in an anti-Semitic conspiracy. Israeli Diaspora Affairs Minister Amichai Chikli says, quote, Jewish security forces in Canada, Australia, and elsewhere should be allowed to carry guns all over the place in response to rising threats. Let's watch.
When we are dealing with the security forces of the Jewish community, they're not allowed to carry weapons in Canada. We also, back in Michigan, what is the meaning of armed security that can prevent horrific incidents? So this is very, very important. By the way, in Bondi Beach, you have in Australia, they can carry weapons, but only in the institutions. But since the event was on the beach, so they were unarmed. So weapons, carrying weapons is very important, that the security forces of the community will be armed. It can save lives, because if they had guns in Bondi Beach, it wouldn't take 12 endless minutes of massacre to do something, okay? So with Canada, it was clear that it's about to happen, and I hope that Carney and his government will do something.
So again, I don't know anybody else who has covered this. I don't understand why. I feel like this is a very big deal, should be a very big deal. Countries like Canada, England, and Australia with the most severe gun control measures, where average citizens are completely incapable of arming themselves, they have Jewish security organizations that are not controlled by the state. They're private citizens that exclusively are allowed to carry weapons. Everybody else is disarmed. The Jews are allowed to defend themselves with weapons. This is happening all over the world. And we're seeing an increased push for gun control here in America with more Democrats talking about it. It's never going to happen. You can drop that right now. But especially not if certain members of certain communities are allowed to own guns. They are allowed to protect themselves, but the rest of us are not. And they're putting this in place. And not only are these Shamrim and the other security agencies run by the Jewish people, literally just Jewish militias, regular citizens, no badge, no training, but they are allowed to have guns. They do roam around neighborhoods and bully people as if they have authority. Not only are they allowed to carry guns when nobody else is, they're funded by the government. So the government is stripping guns from people in Australia and Canada and the UK, ever increasing restrictions on gun ownership. Meanwhile, they're giving tens of millions of dollars worth of grants specifically to the Jewish community so they can arm themselves. Why would we allow this? And by the way, this has, of course, been pushed by the Jewish community on Australia for a very long time. I know we watched the Eighth Front War a few times, so I'm not going to play it again. But one of the women in the Eighth Front War, about halfway through, she is a representative of what they call the J7. I believe it's the J7 or the, yeah, it's the J7. And it's the seven largest diaspora Jewish communities. So it's Jewish, it's basically another version of the Jewish Congress, the World Jewish Congress, but it's the top seven. So it'd be like America and I think Brazil and Australia and basically the largest Jewish diaspora populations get together once a week and they come up with policy proposals that they then deliver personally to the Prime Minister of Australia. In this case, she's talking about, and it's funny because she uses Bondi Beach. She basically says for months and months and months, we'd been pushing for these laws. The laws are restricting of gun rights for everybody except for Jews, arming Jews, and digital ID, stopping communication on the internet that's unfriendly to Israel, in fact, criminalizing criticism of Israel as though it's anti-Semitic. She says, we've been pushing for this for months and months and months, and they wouldn't do it until Bondi Beach happened. And then we got everything that we wanted. And what a success that was. So now you look around the whole world, the UK, France, I mean, everywhere in Europe is implementing these digital ID programs and the censorship programs. Who do you think is advocating for them to do that? What lobbies do you think are pushing this forward? It's one of the things I was referencing when I was talking about, like, how is it that I could go onto the street, ask an average person who's totally uninterested in politics, they would know what's going on. They would understand the motives driving people to vote for Democratic Socialists of America or the reality about the situation in Iran. Why is it that all of our politicians, all universally, ubiquitously, every single one of them seems to be utterly wrong about all of this stuff when the average person does? In addition, who is telling them what to promote? Who is telling them what to do? They go out and they campaign and they seem to perfectly understand what people want. They go out and they say, I'm going to deport criminal aliens and I'm going to get the DEI stuff out and I'm going to stop the transgenderism. And then they get into office and they promote stuff like this. The Kids Act, a bipartisan mass surveillance mega bill from the from AlexJonesLive.com. Just weeks after Americans criticized the United Kingdom for imposing intrusive and heavy-handed social media rules, Congress is now advancing legislation that raises strikingly similar concerns about government overreach, privacy erosion, and the expansion of online surveillance. Who is pushing this? Somebody is going into congressional offices and they're saying, this is your top priority. It's not a group of parents. It's not a group of, you know, children welfare, you know, people with concern about children's welfare. We have so many problems in this country, and yet every time our supposed representatives gather together in order to change the law in this country, they always seem to come up with crap like this that absolutely nobody wants except for the control freaks. So do you understand? I'm asking rhetorical questions here because I know exactly who is pushing this, and it ain't the American people. We are occupied. Our government is totally uninterested in doing anything for us that even remotely benefits us. Instead, they are constantly coming up with crap like this that nobody asked for, but that will get done immediately. If it's something that's good for you, there's endless roadblocks, endless trouble. When something that is against you, you don't even know about it until it's already passed.
Have the 250th birthday limited edition run of awesome designs for this July 4th, 2026 coming up. And they're now available to ship to you as of today, Monday, June 15th, 2026. And they'll be available only through July. They're limited edition, and then that's it. And they fundraise for the broadcast. But I got to say, I'm very impressed with the designs that Bigley came up with. I was heavily involved in this, and the concepts like Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition with the rattlesnake and the AR-15, Liberty or Death, 1776 to 2026. That is a really nice shirt. I designed this one, very simple. America 250 Years Strong. And these are just very clean, Americana, high-quality fabric, very comfortable. Destroying Tyranny since 1776. I did that concept. These are very, very clean. I'm proud of these. I think these are shirts everybody would want to wear. I would certainly want to wear these. America, Ride Fast, Live Free. Just a classic Betsy Ross flag. 1776 Free. They came up with that. I think that's pretty cool. Defund the Deep State. That's pretty cool. I like that really clean one right there. 1776, 250 Years of Freedom. They designed that. Very clean. Very nice. So you want nice, clean, patriotic apparel that, you know, won't get you stabbed by a liberal, but other patriots will know who you are. You can kind of promote liberty and kind of identify who you are. It's fun to wear these shirts, I can tell you that right now. You kind of choose your own adventure. You wear an Alex Jones shirt, then you're really going to meet a lot of cool people, but you also might get a bottle smashed over your head. So hundreds and hundreds of great designs from the Gulf of America to you name it. That's a good-looking shirt right there at thealexjonesstore.com.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.